for sake of disclosure of interest, Richard knew my parents before I knew my parents. Okay, so that goes back a reasonably long way. So, Richard, I guess when I was a young person, I had some views. My parents were interested in missions and missionaries, so I'd hear a bit. And I guess I sort of grew up and had these views of what a missionary was, a superhero, say. And so I just wanted to take some time to find out about your super hero heritage as a missionary for such a long time. So perhaps could you start by telling us about your childhood, where you grew up and what you did?
I'm an East Coast boy. I was born in Gisborne, bred and born in Gisborne. My mother came from the Shetland Islands at the age of 3, and my dad was born in Rongotea, but they settled in Gisborne, made that their home, and so that I went to school there. And it was after school that I migrated up to Auckland to Ardmore Teachers College. It was in Gisborne that I had my spiritual roots, growing up in a Christian home and in a good church and taught the Bible. In fact, Bruce's grandfather was one of my Bible teachers at one stage. So we do have a connection that goes back a number of years.
So as a young person growing up, what sort of things do you get up to in Gisborne and in both in life, sport, whatever, and also in Christian activities? What were you involved in?
I guess I was just a mischievous boy like any other kid in Gisborne. We spent a lot of time at the beach and fishing. We had no encounters like Jeff did with fish. But it was a good life, a simpler life than it is today, uncomplicated. You know, we didn't even have television back then. And then, of course, summertime was camps. I used to go to a crusader camp at Lake Waikaremoana, and that was a great experience. But probably the most formative experience I had was at the age of 16. My dad took me to an Easter convention at Narrawahia. And at Narrawahia on the Sunday afternoon, they had a missionary meeting where any missionary in camp could give a 5-minute report of what they were doing. But afterwards, they made some sort of an appeal. And at that camp, the Lord spoke to me, "Richard, what are you going to do with your life? Are you going to yield to me and to my service, or are you going to just live it like anyone else, you know, get a career, make money, get a wife, you know, live happily ever after, live the good life?" And at the age of 16, I made an important decision that I was going to yield my life to the Lord, and I would go where he took me, and I would do what he gave me to do.
And so, having made that decision, how did God show you where to go? What were the steps that you took that ended up being a missionary leaving New Zealand, which back then, you know, you were leaving, you went on a boat, and you know, it wasn't like flying and being Skype and be able to talk to the family all the time. So what are the steps that led you to actually make such a drastic, you know, commitment to travel to another part of the world?
Well, it was gradual. I was 16 when I believe God spoke to me, but I was 29 before I reached Colombia in South America. But in that period of time, I realized it's important to be well prepared. And somehow the Lord spoke to me about being a teacher, because, of course, teaching the Bible is very important. And I went into teaching, discovered I had a talent for teaching, and then I went on to finish a degree. I taught both primary and secondary. I had good experience there, because as you go to the mission field back then, Colombia was a country under persecution, and it was no picnic. Don't think that it's glamorous going to the mission field. You know, it's glamorous for the first 2 or 3 days, and then after that, the reality sets in. And it was a difficult field, and I needed to have that maturity of 29 years under my belt to go and face the spiritual challenges that would come in Colombia.
So how did you know God wants you to go to Colombia in particular?
Well, it was at another camp when I heard a missionary talk, a missionary with the Worldwide Evangelization Crusade, WEC International. She spoke for 7 minutes. Ring a bell? Anyway, she spoke for 7 minutes, and I remember talking about the homeless kids on the street, and I heard her talking about intense Catholicism and people not knowing Christ as personal Savior. And it was that encounter. I believe I was about 23 then. But then another important item came into my life, and that was a wife, more than an item. I was at Bible College, BTI, Bible Training Institute, which is now Laidlaw College. And I was in prayer that the Lord would bring into my life the right partner. So I believe two important decisions I made was the one about giving my life to the Lord, and the other one was finding the right partner. And I believe God had prepared Nancy for me, and when I proposed to her, it was really a proposal, it was very romantic. If you're willing to go as a missionary, will you marry me? And she weighed it up and said, yes, praise the Lord. She's been a great help in my life.
So going off for missions, you talked about, you know, it sounds romantic. I guess one of the things I thought as a young kid was, oh, it's easy to tell people about Jesus when you're a missionary because you're on the other side of the world and you don't know these people, so it doesn't matter what they think. There's one thing. And then the other thing I would think about is, how on earth do you survive two totally different things? How do you survive in that you've not got a job, so how do you actually live? It fascinated me as a kid. So can you sort of share about those
things? We went to Colombia, called to the Lord, and depending on Him by faith. We had no pledged support. We didn't know where our income was going to come from, but we had Christian friends and churches in New Zealand that were behind us. But really, as I look back now, 47 years, it's been a miracle along the way. Every month's a miracle. God has provided for us, and I don't look as though I'm fading away. God has provided for us, and even coming home to New Zealand, when we came back to New Zealand, we didn't have a house. But there was a group of Christian friends that got together and formed a fund, and we were able to come back to New Zealand to a home. A refurbished home in Tauranga, just less than 20 years old. So the Lord's looked after us right the way through.
And a bit about, so is it easier to share your faith in another,
Well, there's challenges. As soon as you step out to serve the Lord, Satan rises up and wants to oppose you. Don't think that it's glamorous going to the mission field, because you go to the mission field and people are bound by something. If it's not Islam, it's Hinduism or it's Roman Catholicism. And these ideas bind people. And you've just got to learn to be patient and, dig in and be prepared to suffer for the name of the Lord and to, as opportunities come, to share the gospel. I remember once in Bogota, for example, about 2 years after we had arrived, we decided to have some special meetings in the place where we were meeting. There was about 20 in the group, I suppose, of believers, fairly newly formed church. And we were out on the Sunday afternoon giving out flyers and inviting people to the meeting. And lo and behold, I came across the parish priest. And he beckoned me over. And really, with fear and trembling, I went over to him and he says, what have you got and what are you doing? And I explained and he says, can you give me some of those papers? And he took those papers and tore them up through at my feet and then walked away. There was just disdain in his attitude toward me. But that night, there was a young fellow that came to that meeting that trusted the Lord. He's now, after 45 years, a noted Bible teacher in Bogota and been responsible for winning many people to the Lord, has a big ministry using Emmaus correspondence courses. So you never know. God is sovereign. And while we sow the seed and while we look for opportunities, God is the one that leads to people, and often people who show real promise that the Lord is going to use.
As you were thinking, as you were speaking before about God providing each month, I was thinking of the verse that this morning that John shared and read from Isaiah and said, I will take you by the hand and guard you. So what your experience is, God has provided and protected you all through this journey that you've taken.
Yeah. And there's certain dangers. I remember the first major test we had, we were on a ship. We left from Auckland to sail to Panama. We're going to disembark in Panama and then fly down to Colombia in South America. But about 24 hours out of Auckland, the port of Auckland, the ship caught on fire. And at 4 a.m. we were, aroused by alarm bells and so on. Put on your life jackets, get ready to abandon ship out in the middle of the Pacific, halfway between Auckland and Fiji. That was a major test to us, and the thought came, was God going to allow us to perish in the middle of the Pacific? But we believed He had something for us to do, and we believe that God puts His angels around us to protect us and guide us in all our ways. I remember on another occasion in the city of Bucaramanga, where we lived, I was with my daughter. She was about 3 or 4 years of age, and I used to take them downtown with me sometimes just for a treat. And we had been to a bank to do some business, and I was going to another place to do some business. And just as we were going to turn around a corner, there were bullets passing. And a fellow just about knocked us over at the corner. But it was someone who had been into a jeweller's shop and had raided the jeweller's shop. And the owner of the shop went to the door and was firing after him. Had we been two or three paces ahead, we might have copped those bullets. And it's things like that you look back and realise that the Lord has had his hand upon us to protect us and to also to protect us from enemies of the gospel. Plenty of those.
So I've got two final things I want to focus on. So in your journey, in your mission journey, you were in Colombia and then you came back to New Zealand. And as a kid, I remember you were going to USA, to Florida, I think it was. Yeah. And then it took a whole long time and a whole series of, it seemed like years, and it seemed like a no man's land. So for me, looking on, wondering how did you cope and how did God provide for you during that time and sustain you in your call? And also, how did you find it being in New Zealand after being in Colombia all that time and the change, you know, assimilating back into New Zealand life and church life, and, you know, what was that like? So, yeah, two big questions.
The first question, we were happy in our work in Colombia. For some reason, one year, when we came back on furlough, the Colombian government cancelled our permission to return. We didn't know what to do because we'd gone there for life. But as it turned out, the Lord revealed to us that the next step in our lives would be to go to Miami in Florida to work among Spanish-speaking people there and develop a work there. Well, that never worked out. It's a long story, but the Lord led us eventually to Los Angeles. And Los Angeles is a very significant city because there's something like 8 million Spanish-speaking people there. And the Lord gave us a vision of going to a city like that in North America where we could preach the gospel and teach and train people so they in turn could reach back to their own people in Latin America with the gospel. And that's important. As important as preaching the gospel is preparing men and women for ministry. What was your other question?
New Zealand, when you came back to New Zealand, had it changed? How did you find it?
Well, you have culture shock in reverse. Because you come back and you find your friends have gone in one direction and you've gone in another. And you're just not on the same page. And now, for example, when we came back 4 years ago, we'd suddenly discover we had no friends really under our age. Because you see, being away all those years, the friends we had were our age and older. And we had not made contact with the younger generation. And so it's heartbreaking when you're older to make friends with the younger generation. But you know, one thing I've learned over the years, geography is not important in serving the Lord. What's important is being passionate about Jesus Christ. And in those 4 years of waiting, because it was 4 years trying to get visas to get into the United States, you know, it's not quite so easy. You know, it's easy if you live in Mexico to jump the border. Well, it used to be. But it was a bit far to swim from New Zealand, you know, there's sharks along the way. But anyway, we were 4 years getting visas before we went to the States. But I did learn in that period of time lessons of faith, because God prepares not only the times when we go, but the times when we stop. And in the stops of life are times when God has our attention. And I think I learned far more in those 4 years back in New Zealand in preparation to go to the United States than in some of those years prior to that. You know, your roots go deep in the Lord and Bible study and that sort of thing. And it was great preparation for work in the States, because the work in the States was quite different. We were aiming at Latin Americans, those that speak Spanish, but the Lord opened a far wider door of opportunity. Eventually, I got on radio. I'm still on radio in Los Angeles twice a week. But that gives you an audience extends right through Latin America. And, you know, far wider doors than we'd ever had before. And so it was important that the Lord work in our lives to prepare us for what was ahead.
Yeah. So it's hard, and when you don't know what's happening, looking back, though, you can see God's hand in each. Yeah, that's fascinating. It's fantastic. It's a great testimony, and really it's lovely to have you amongst us, and hopefully you get the chance to get to know some of us, and we're really enjoying having the opportunity to get to know you.
I want to say one thing more. We're very grateful for the anchor, because, you know, when we came back to New Zealand four and a bit years ago, there were certain people, almost before we got back to New Zealand, said, now that you're back in New Zealand, you won't need our support. You know, goodbye. Hasta luego. But you people at the anchor have sent a monthly gift to us, and we're incredibly thankful for that. Just the fact, not just the gift so much, but the fact that you're there behind us in prayer. And that means so much to us. Because, you know, it's easy to come back and be put on a shelf and be forgotten. But you fellas haven't forgotten us. And we're really appreciative of that. And this last week we've been with Jeff and what's his wife's name? Catherine? And, you know, we've been so encouraged by them because they're people that have a heart for missions and missionaries. And it blows me away to think of the questions they ask about newsletters we've sent in the past to the anchor, and they know details about them. And he's checked me out to see if I'm a true blue by asking me questions about things in the past. And that's really encouraging. And so that's the reason why we're down here in Wellington last weekend preaching at the anchor and with the invitation to be here at the camp this week. And it's just great to be among you, great to have fellowship with you and to get to know you as a family who have been so supportive to us over past years.
Well, certainly we think, I've all my life seen and watched your witness and really appreciate your example and testimony and today your witness to God's faithfulness and serving Him. So thank you, Richard and Nancy, for being here. And those of you who are observant will have known the bell went and I've used more than my 15 minutes. But thank you very much, Richard. Okay.